In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show your love, your hate, your death threats on an ass, well, in your
this
ass, Dr.
Jesse
questions
Kelly show.
at jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Wait, that's a weird way to say that. At Jesse Kelly. There's too many ats in there. The email address is jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I'll just stick with that. All right. We're going to get to something that I still think about a lot, but I want to address something fun and good first. The FBI is a criminal organization. The FBI, as we've laid out a million times, now that it's a secret state police agency working on behalf of only one political party, in fact, running a protection racket for that party and openly oppressing the opposite party, it will end the country if it is not fixed. Now, I know that. You know that. But the problem is, enough people don't quite get that yet. They distrust it, or they don't like it, but they wouldn't go so far as to say criminal organization, something like that. But that's beginning to change. And remember, you are the tip of the spear, the hyper-informed voter. That's good. We need you. You're critical. The country will not be saved without you, cannot be saved without you. That's the good news. The bad news is I am in for a life of frustration because everyone around us will always be behind us. They'll always come to the conclusions you came to years ago. And you'll constantly be spending your time bashing your hand against your forehead saying, I told you that. Now it's too late. You're ruining everything by not waking up when I wake up. So that's your life now. Tough. That's our life. That's what we got. At least we have John Fetterman. That's it. People are beginning the process of waking up. The Idaho GOP unanimously passed a resolution. What's the resolution? They're calling for the abolition of the Federal Bureau of Investigation if it's deemed that it cannot be reformed. Now, obviously, that's not near far enough. It can't be reformed, but this is the first step in getting really mainstream opinion of the FBI where it needs to be. This is the first step, and this is a great step, and this is something that should put a smile on your face. Waking up Normie Norm has got to happen. When you have the GOP infrastructure of a U.S. state passing a resolution unanimously, that's a good start. All right, the communist in language. Remember, the communist, this is one of the funny things about him. It's his religion. It's not his political ideology. And because of that, he never thinks that the things he wants, the very political things he wants, he never considers them to be political. They're simply the way things are. It's simply, how many times have you heard a Democrat of any kind, how many times have you heard them say, look, the debate is over. It's no more debate. Obama specialized in this. It was his specialty. He did it all the time. Chris was already writing that down. All the time. Look, there's no more debate about this. Hey, there's no debate. You hear the climate change genocidal monsters? They love using this. No, look, there's no more debate. The debate's over. The science is settled. 100%, Chris. Science is settled. Debate's over. They love saying that. And then when you notice the destruction they're doing and you bring it up to them, they want you to quiet down. But if you don't quiet down, what you'll often see is they'll do the same things, because they don't change tactics. They never believe they're wrong. They change directions, or they change the language, I should say, not directions. They change the language. And then what they'll do when they change the language, they'll lament that you had to get involved and make it political. They do this all the time. Remember Bud Light when they got busted with the tranny beer cans? Their first statement, which was the most telling, was, hey, whoa, we never wanted to be political. There's just a grown man who dresses up like a woman and pretends to be a little girl on the beer can. Don't make it political. We never wanted to be political. You know about BlackRock because you're the hyper-informed. You understand that the author of so much of the corporate filth you see comes from Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street. Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street. These finance giants most people don't even know about, with $20 trillion in assets controlling even the biggest American corporations. Who sits on the board, the direction they go. And maybe the most nefarious one in this group, if we have to call out individuals, is a Mr. Larry Fink. Larry Fink is the CEO of BlackRock. He was the one, again, wasn't being political, who really pushed this ESG stuff into the mainstream. Why does your bank now have an ESG page? Talking about carbon and how many gays they've hired and things like that. Why? Because ESG is pushed hard from Vanguard, BlackRock, and State Street out to the various corporations. They believe in this. They push it hard. It's cultural Marxism. It's evil. It will destroy everything. But then people started talking about ESG. People with big platforms. We talk about it on this show. I'm not alone. There are others who've talked about ESG. They've written books about it. Now it's something people know about. My neighbors now, as you know, I've told you that story before. My neighbors talk about ESG. But Larry Fink, it's not that he regrets pushing this cultural Marxist filth on America's corporations and drowning our country in endless degeneracy. He just regrets that it's been weaponized.
So has that your business been hurt by the state of Florida not supporting your ESG efforts?
I don't use the word ESG anymore because it's been entirely weaponized. But it was weaponized by the far left and weaponized by the far right. So I'm not blaming one side or the other, but it's been totally weaponized. So we talk a lot about decarbonization. We talk a lot about governance when we have governance issues or social issues, if that's something that we need to address. So in my last CEO letter, the phrase ESG was not uttered once because it's been unfortunately politicized, weaponized, and all that. And
don't you feel so bad for Larry that it's been politicized and weaponized? All he wanted to do was try to take away oil and gas, which will kill something probably in the range of 4 to 5 billion people. And can you believe people weaponized that against him? How unfair to Larry. That is so unfair. All you want to do is genocide about 5 billion people, and now everyone has to make it political and weaponize it. Totally unfair, isn't it? Isn't it unfair that you are watching everything around you, from the quality of products to the pilots to the customer service, that you are watching everything around you slowly decay and die as America focuses on diversity, which doesn't matter at all because they have to make sure there are enough women. Are there enough Asians? Do we have enough black people? Let's get some trans people in every business, every sector of our society, no longer hired on merit, no longer hired on skills, hired for the color of their skin, hired for their sexual orientation, hired for their gender, hired for everything. And that is largely the responsibility or the fault of people like Larry Fink. Larry Fink, all he's done is decay and destroy so much of your country. Can you believe people have weaponized that against him? Isn't that so unfair? It's so unfair. Why won't you let Larry Fink kill 5 billion people?
So has that your business been hurt by the state of Florida not supporting your ESG efforts?
I don't use the word ESG anymore because it's been entirely weaponized. But it was weaponized by the far left and weaponized by the far right. So I'm not blaming one side or the other, but it's been totally weaponized. So we talk a lot about decarbonization. We talk a lot about governance.
Decarbonization. Why do they talk about decarbonization? What's the point of that? What's the end goal? They want to decarbonize the earth. Well, if you'd like a translation, an honest translation of what Larry just said, allow me to go to Jane Goodall. You've heard her before describing what Larry Fink means by decarbonization.
We cannot hide away from human population growth because, you know, it underlies so many of the other problems. All these things we talk about wouldn't be a problem if there was the size of population that there was 500 years ago.
In 90% of the population of the planet. 90%. You do the math. But I don't know why you're weaponizing it against Larry. He's very uncomfortable. Remember this. These tyrants should be treated like vile dogs. The enemies of your freedom should be treated like crap at all times. Always remember that. That's the only way we get out of this. All right. Speaking of keying cars, Democrats are insane in email roundup stuff. But let's do this. Speaking of insane, right? You don't need me to pull up crime statistics. You don't need me to pull up the latest in some nut job taking a knife to somebody, a gun to somebody, just punching somebody. You don't need me to describe any of these things because you see it all around you every single day. The point is, we cannot fix all the ills, all the crazy people. The only thing we can hope to do is protect ourselves. Protect ourselves with a hero gun. Non-lethal. Non-lethal. Pepper balls. Or pepper gel if you go with the hero arrow. It's the easy way to convince your gun-hating sister, mother, wife to carry something on them that will allow them to stop a very bad human being. Go to hero2020.com, code Jesse, for a special discount. Hero2020.com, code Jesse. State restrictions may apply.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I've always said that song needs to be my intro song of some way. Not for the radio show, because we have that, but I really want to be introduced to music. You know, like a boxer or an MMA fighter, when they get announced that they're coming out of the locker room and everyone's cheering, "Ah, Jesse, I love you. You're the best fighter." And then they have music made for them, or the music waiting for them, and they come down to it. I want to be in a situation like that. And I feel like that's something we should be able to make happen in some way. Now, I don't want to box anybody or something, but I want to come out to cheering crowds and music. And I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think that's too much to ask at all. You know what I was thinking about earlier today? You have that Grassley clip, Chris? We played this on the show before. We played it many times because I can't get it out of my head. I think about all the FBI malfeasance that we already know about and that has been revealed to us lately. And I think about this is what we know about. Wrap your mind around that we know all the things the FBI's done. And that's what we know about, courtesy of not that many whistleblowers. Remember when we found out that they were infiltrating the churches? There was one whistleblower who came forward from one field office and said, "Hey, I've got a document here and it shows they're infiltrating the churches." Who knows how deep that goes? Who knows? So I think about this organization, this criminal organization, and then I come back to this, and I want to remind you that you forget about this because Chuck Grassley sounds like, and he is about 9,000 years old, but Chuck Grassley is still a United States senator. Do you realize how significant and powerful that is? Wrap your mind around this. As a United States senator, if you visit as a United States senator a foreign country, they will send dignitaries to come see you. Not as a member of the House, But if you visit, if I was Senator Kelly, which we all know that's never going to happen. If I was Senator Kelly and tomorrow I wanted to go visit France, I'm going to go to France, taking the wife to Paris. Sounds like a very me thing to do. I'd fit what, Chris? Anyway, I'm taking the wife to Paris. France would send dignitaries to meet me because I'm a senator and that's a big deal. I'm hugely powerful. There are only 100 of me on the planet. I asked a buddy one time the difference between a senator and a member of the House when we were in D.C. We were back there fundraising and things like that. And I asked him, what's the difference in power level? And he looked at me for a second. He thought about it. And then he looked at me and you know what he told me? And he said, Jesse, you see that steakhouse across the street? We were just walking by. And I said, yeah. He said, here's the difference. If you're a member of the House, if you're anybody, you need a reservation to get in that steakhouse on a Friday night. If you're a senator, you don't. You walk in the door and you say, I'm Senator Grassley. Grab me a table. And they say, yes, sir, Senator. A United States Senator is a powerful thing. The Senate Judiciary Committee might be the most powerful committee in all of Congress, the House or the Senate. Chuck Grassley sits on that committee. Christopher Wray sat in front of Chuck Grassley, and Christopher Wray was about to go get on his FBI, his taxpayer-funded private jet, and go on vacation. And he sat in front of Senator Grassley and essentially told him to wrap it up. He's got places to be.
Senator, I had a flight that I'm supposed to be hightailing it to out of here. And I had understood that we were going to be done at 1:30. So that's how we ended up where we are.
If it's your business trip, you got your own plane. Can it wait a while?
Sorry, to be honest, I've tried to make my break as fast as I could to get right back out here.
Yeah, so you took more than 5 minutes.
Did that sound like a man who was sitting in front of a powerful United States senator? Let me ask you something. I want you to listen to this one more time. I want you to really listen to it. And I want you to tell me which one of these two men sounds like they're in charge.
Senator, I had a flight that I'm supposed to be hightailing it to out of here. And I had understood that we were going to be done at 1:30. So that's how we ended up where we are.
If it's your business trip, you got your own plane. Can it wait a while?
Sorry, to be honest, I've tried to make my break as fast as I could to get right back out here.
Yeah, so you took more than 5 minutes.
You've got your own plane. Can't you wait a while? Nah, I could, but I'm not gonna. I work in a professional environment now. I've been in the professional environment. Have you been in a professional environment before? Let's say one of the suits calls up right now. One of the bosses out there. My bosses are wonderful, don't get me wrong. And they said, hey, Jesse, when you finish up the show tonight, we need you to stay after the show and record something, a little 5-minute video for us that we want to put on the website. We need you to do that for us. Do you know what I would say? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Sounds good. I will be here. It'll get done. Now, if they said, if the president or premier, if they reach out and they say, hey, Jesse, I need you to stay after the show. 5-minute video has to be cut tonight. And I say back, ow, man, boy, I'd love to, but Red Lobster is calling my name. Maybe I'll catch you tomorrow. Who really runs things around here? I think about that a lot. I think about that a lot. Tough times coming. You got enough testosterone for the times we have coming? It's important. This stuff is important. Remember, staying away from chemical medical filth is equally important. Chalk is our way out. Natural herbal supplements. CHOQ. So much more than the male vitality stack, which I take. So much more than the female vitality stack. From chalk lip powder to endless natural herbal supplements of the highest quality. That is our way forward. Let's move forward taking care of ourselves first, then our community, and then maybe we can save the country. Go to CHOQ.com and just see what they have. That's all I want you to do right now. I want you to go see what they have. Get a subscription to something if it appeals to you. When you use the promo code Jesse, that gets you 35% off the subscriptions. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. All right? Go now.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Deputy Press Secretary Olivia Dalton today. She had some tough questions to answer.
There's one president who values our national security and protects.
That's not the right one. That's not even her voice at all. Hold on. The numbers might be wrong. And now there's nothing on this one. You know what? I don't think any of this is working. Let me check the important ones. That one works. Okay, that one works. Hold on. What about this? All right, good. Good. You know what we need? Soft music for emails. Dear Senor Bandito, most would agree. Oh, this is a Trump one. Trump has a giant ego. Many would even say he's narcissistic. There's nothing wrong with being this way. We literally, I hate you, need these personality types to lead groups and run companies. The problem with someone having a giant ego is they are often a prisoner to it. Do you think Trump could be mentally incapable of hiring star talent for fear that person could outshine him or otherwise steal glory from him? The idea sounds ridiculous because these people would be working under Trump and Trump could easily take credit, but Trump's personality type often can't... All right, so on and so forth. I got it. Now, okay, so this is somebody who doesn't like the people Trump hires because Trump hires dirtballs. This is something we've discussed before. About how Trump has the right ideas and Trump's America First agenda is the right agenda. And a lot of it didn't get implemented in his 4 years for different reasons. That's not all on Trump. Let's be clear about that. The government weaponized itself against him. But it wasn't all their fault. Because he was constantly kneecapped by his own people, by people within, even COVID lockdowns. You want a little blast in the past on COVID lockdowns? So I had people and have people very, very close to Donald Trump right next to him. And I had people in the Trump White House. And when 15 days to slow the spread was first proposed. Now, just pause for a moment. Wrap your mind around the endless destruction that came from that moment, from that idea, from deciding that even for 5 seconds, you should shut down an economy for a virus. Now, think about this. 15 days to slow the spread. And it was proposed a couple days before they did it. And I freaked out. Not very many other people did. You probably did, but not many other people on the air did. And I lost my mind and said, this is crazy. It's nuts. Don't do this. This is crazy. It's nuts. Don't do this. I started talking to one of my guys who was very close to Trump, right next to Trump. And he said, Jesse, I hear what you're saying. I've actually shown him what you're saying. I agree with you. And I think he does too. But, and I said, but what? What do you mean? But what? But those of us next to him who know this is a mistake, we are outnumbered greatly and outpowered by people like Jared Kushner. So he had people around him that were saying, don't do it. He instead chose to listen to Jared and the other dirtballs, and the rest is history. Now you ask why that is. I don't know. I only know from what these people told me. That Trump is, and this is, we are all this way, right? Trump is susceptible to flattery. Extremely susceptible to flattery. Why would you hire Omarosa? Why would you hire Scarmucci? Why would you hire Tillerson? Why all these hires that don't make any sense at all? They were nice to him. And so he would hire them. And they go in and they torpedo his agenda. And then they leave and write a book about how he's an evil demon. And then he'd hire the next person who was nice to him. Well, the problem is we end up oftentimes, most of the time in life, being a product of our own choices in life. For better and for worse, we're a product of our own choices. Let's do a good thing. If I choose to be the greatest father ever, of course I am not. I love my buddies, but I choose to be the greatest father ever. That is a choice that has to be made every day, doesn't it? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to go hang out with my sons and teach them lessons. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. I won't ever work extra. I won't ever go on a trip. I won't ever golf with the boys. I'm not saying that's what you need to do, but I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to being the best father ever. Well, 20, 30 years from now, my sons will be a result of that. They'll be better men. And we will be closer as father and son, as their adults, because of the things I did every single day. Now, let's say I choose to just eat like crap, no improvements, never working out, every single day for the rest of my life. It's pizzas, no working out, pizza, beer, don't even drink water, 2 hours of sleep every night. I'm going to age badly. My belly's going to get big. My muscles are going to shrivel up. My face is going to wrinkle up into nothing. We are a product of the way we've done things for the longest time. This applies to Trump with the people that you're unhappy he's hired with his hiring. By this point in time, not only have the hires been bad, but Trump, you know, he's a junkyard dog. We like when he bites the communists. We don't like when he bites our people. Trump has lashed out at so many of his former employees, like Kayla McEnany. Kayla McEnany on Fox News didn't even say anything bad about Trump. She referenced a poll that didn't have him leading by enough. He thought he was up by more, and he publicly just gave it to her, both barrels. Well, if you're a pro-Trump person, you laugh that off and say, oh, that's just kind of how he is, and that's true, but you have to look at it also from a different way. If you're a quality person, let's say you're a super sharp campaign advisor, one of these guys with really smart ideas, and you want to go things a different way, and you want to do stuff like that, and you have options, are you going to work for that? Are you going to risk that being you next time when you leave? If you happen to say anything that he views as being out of line publicly, are you going to risk that? No, you won't. The good people won't come. And I've heard this consistently from, because he does have a couple of real studs who I really like, who are real close to him. They continue to lament this to me over and over and over again. the good people. It's not like they're not finding them and offering them jobs. They are, and they're all saying no, emphatically. Nope, not interested. Nope, I'm not going to be the next one that gets blasted on social media. Nope, not interested. Well, you still have to fill those roles with somebody, so you end up hiring money-grubbing turds who don't believe in the agenda you love and the agenda I love. We don't believe in America first. They agree in swindling all of us. That's why. All right, more emails. Jesse, I was talking to somebody today about yellow journalism leading to the Spanish-American War. Sensational fake news has been used to manipulate the unsuspecting public forever. I know nothing about the Spanish-American War and was wondering if you'd do a history segment on it. Escucha gracias. I probably don't have time to do a whole history segment on it. In fact, there's probably something I should tackle in a larger way at another time. Just know that the Spanish-American War came about at the right time for us and the wrong time for them. Spain was just having a hard time keeping their once very massive empire together. They were going broke. They just couldn't keep it all together. And we had an interest in Cuba, which was a Spanish possession. And it ended up being a fight that was made in Cuba. That's where Teddy Roosevelt fought with his Rough Riders. That's where the ship, the Maine, was exploded. It was exploded, I say, because no one knows who did the actual exploding. Some say we did it. Some say the Spanish did it. Some say Cuban rebels did it. No one knows who exactly blew it up. But speaking of yellow journalism, it immediately went to the papers as a justification for war in Cuba. Remember, the Maine was a gigantic journalist thing. When to this day, we don't know what blew it up. What could have been a guy having a cigarette in the magazine of the ship. We don't know. No one knows. But it blew up and it's gone. All right. We're going to talk about getting pregnant, Bidenomics, keying somebody's car, and more emails. We're also going to talk about preborn. We're going to talk about saving lives, saving babies, because we are not here just to eat Red Lobster and be merry. We have obligations to protect people. Obligations to protect people. Especially the people who cannot protect themselves. These innocent unborn babies, they have no protection against the abortion industry. What we can do is give these women who are about to have an abortion, we can arm them with an ultrasound so they know it's not some clump of cells. It's nothing, but they've been told their whole lives. She will lay down and hear that beating heart and she will choose life. And the only way she gets to do that is with your $28. That's what buys the ultrasound. Go to preborn.com/Jesse and give your $28 tonight. Sponsored by Preborn.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and no matter how your day is going, it's going better than Miami Mayor Francis Suarez, who went on Hugh Hewitt's show and probably needs to just bone up on world affairs a little.
Will you be talking about the Uyghurs in your campaign?
The what?
The Uyghurs.
What's a Uyghur?
Okay, we'll come back to that.
He's, of course, talking about the Uyghur Muslims of China. They're currently enslaved, having their organs harvested, you know, little things like that. And apparently, Mr. Suarez has got to do a little bit more reading on the subject. No big deal. Tomato, tomato. Hey, even he'd be better than what we have now.
I was just thinking... anyway, I started off without you, and I sold a lot of state secrets and a lot of very important things that we shared.
Really? Sold a lot of state secrets, huh? Okay. All right. Anyway, I want to do something quickly before we get on to everything else. We're going to talk about this Epstein stuff they came out with today and Bidenomics and other things, but I want to deal with this. The headline is from Yahoo. Pregnant workers may get longer breaks, more time off, and other accommodations as a new law takes effect. It's called the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act, by the way. The new law takes effect. Okay. Yeah. There are lots of things in life that sound really, really good, and they're really, really, really bad. It's just a fact. This is a fact. You know, one of those things, if you're ever asked, hey, what's something you would do if you had $1 billion or endless money, something along those lines. One of those things I always thought would be great, and it's kind of like a side item thing, would be to hire your favorite fast food joint or one of them to build a location fully staffed in your home, a little mini one. You've got your, I think this was actually on a commercial, if I remember. I remember seeing it. Somebody had a Taco Bell in your house. A Taco Bell. Now, how sweet does that sound? Anytime you want chicken quesadilla, baby. Yeah, I will have some more nachos. Up. Looks like it's time for another chalupa. Taco Bell's right downstairs. That sounds fantastic, doesn't it? You'd be dead in like 5 years from diabetes. It would be horrible. It would be the worst thing in the world for you, for me, for all of us. Let's pass a law mandating that pregnant women get more time off, more accommodations, longer breaks. Immediately what that does is that appeals to our emotions because we think about pregnant women who are obviously treasures who should be treasured and protected. But this is horrible for women. Why would I hire a woman if I know I'm going to have to pay her the same thing I'm paying a man, while at the same time I know that if she gets pregnant, I'm going to have to, what, build a special break room? I get less production out of her because I'm required to give her longer hours in the break room. I'm required to give her all kinds of time off. And let me clarify something. I believe in taking care of your employees. I learned that from my father, who had a construction business. I believe in taking care of your employees. I've always believed that. So I'm not one of these, no, show up to work and work, slave. I'm not one of these guys. But when you give me mandates that apply to this person and don't apply to that person, you may think that sounds wonderful. It sounds like a great law. It's a disaster. I've tried to explain this when it comes to black people in hiring many times in this country before. You know, these conversations are never broadcasted because then you'd never be able to find work again. So you're not supposed to talk about these things. But I've been in the room for all kinds of hiring decisions. Hey, we need to hire somebody for here. Should we hire this guy? Should we hire that guy? Should we hire this guy? Should we hire that guy? Do you know how many times I've seen race-based hiring, but not for the reason you think? Not because the manager or the owner had anything against black people or whatever the case may be. If it was close between, let's say, a black guy or a white guy or something like that, I've seen it, and I've seen this more than once. I've seen the white guy get chosen. Why? That's a guy that can't sue me when I fire him. You think every time there's a new law, every time there's a new act, every time there's a new business sued for discrimination, it's time to end this discrimination. You may think that your group, whatever that group may be, pregnant women today, you may think that you got a gigantic win when really you got a gigantic loss. You got a gigantic L. Because now, if you're an employer, you look at that and look, why bother? If I've got Jewish producer Chris and Jewish producer Christine showing up wanting to be my producer, and let's say they were pretty equal with sense of humor and everything else and their technical knowledge, it's going to be Jewish producer Chris. You know why? Because I don't have to build him a special freaking break room if he gets pregnant. That's why. I just had to get that off my chest. That'll be very popular. You can email me, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Oh, wait, another email. This will be good. Dr. Jesse, after hearing your suggestions to listen to Martyr Maid's podcast episode, Anti-Humans, about communism, from the rise of the Bolsheviks to Stalin and so on, I recently started listening to it. Your repeated content warnings still don't prepare a man to hear that episode. I never doubted that it's a religion of death and destruction with a bloodlust that can't be quantified other than peering into hell. An hour into it, the podcast host describes the psychology of the state in it being rabid at propagandizing its citizens and especially its armies to be bestial in its destroying. Doesn't sound familiar, does it? Legally buying guns and ammunition and Mantis X, y'all. His name's Jordan. Go listen to that podcast episode. My boy, Daryl Cooper, called Anti-Humans. It is not for children. Kids, do not listen to that episode without your parents. There's no perverted stuff, but it's very graphic about the crimes of communists and things they've done, and it's more horrific than anything I can even describe for you on this show. You'll never make it through twice the end of it, where he goes over the Potest experiments. You'll never make it through it. And go buy your Mantis X system, because that is really what communism does. It turns people into rabid groupthink animals who will, with a mob mentality, savage their fellow man over and over and over and over again, thinking they're the good guys. And this exact same religion has taken hold in more cultural institutions than you or I care to think about. Practice with your weapon over and over and over and over and over again. And when you're done practicing with your weapon, get on your knees and pray to God you never have to use that training. But practice. Mantis X allows you to do it in the comfort of your home. No range time, no bullets, no gas prices. MantisX.com. Practice with your weapon. The Green Berets use it. The Marines use it. Make sure you're fast and deadly. MantisX.com, right? MantisX.com.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.